Y'all can go ahead and sit down. So right now, Lord, we just thank you. We thank you for the word that we're going to receive today, Father. We thank you for your empowerment that we are receiving today, Father. We thank you for your strength, your joy. We put it on right now. And I just thank you for the open hearts ready to receive, Father, because this is a message that we all need to receive. And I just thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. So who all's had a crappy week? Who all's had something trying to come against them all week? I'll go ahead and tell you, my truck broke down 3 times this week. Jade has had a cough. There's several other people that's had allergies come against them. There's been negative thoughts that's tried to come against. It has been a week of attacks after attacks after attacks. But we know that whenever the attacks come like this, that there's a breakthrough that's about to happen. Something's about to change. Something's about to go up. Something is about to be empowered through us to move. Right? Amen. We've been here. We've seen it. So whenever the attacks come, we just laugh at it. Because we know that it's not going to prosper. His word tells us that. His word's true, right? So how many know that this word right here is, it's not a lie, right? It's true. Everybody knows, everybody agrees? Well, we can stop right there. Because we've all heard it. We've all heard it over and over. But there's something that was brought to my attention over the past couple weeks, and it's really been a check on me. So I've had to sit there. It's a potty break. But a lot of times, and I had a discussion with a guy when I was in Baltimore after he had picked us up from where I was speaking at on the way back, was about the power of God and why we haven't seen it. Why is it not moving? And ultimately what I told him, I was like, that falls on us. It's our job. The church body itself has kind of dropped the ball. We have letting attacks like this come, weeks like this come, where he's tried to hit you from every angle, and we'll let it discourage us. Instead of doing what we're supposed to do, just like Jay was just saying, be still. Trust in him. Look into his word. Believe his word. Know his word. Make his word your foundation. It's a foundation that can't be shaken. So when we know that, and we get still, and we listen to him, then things change. But a lot of times when we start getting attacks like that, the reason why he does it in multiples, because if he hits you one way, it's easy to kind of shake it off. But if he hits you here and then he hits you here, then what happens? You start doing this number. You don't know which way you're going. So then what happens? You get off track. That's what the church body has done. We've gotten hit with stuff in the media and the news now. It's not appropriate to go to church and do this because that's just that you're hurting people's feelings. You got people coming here. That's not right. That's not right. Now you're offended. You're offended. Well, I'm sorry, but I'm not here to worry about offending you. I'm here to make sure that you hear the true stuff that can change your life instead of buttering up your life and making you feel all pretty and happy. Because that right there, if you get a hold of it and you understand that it's true and you start listening to it, then it will make you pretty and it will make you happy. It will bring you provision. It will bring you strength. There won't be no sickness in your life. Right. I'd rather walk around with provision, no sickness, with the joy of the Lord on me than worry about if somebody called me Jim and my name's Paul. Yeah. Or if I spilled a hot cup of coffee on me. That's my stupidity. It's not somebody else's fault. It says hot coffee. What were you expecting? But now, the society now, that offends them, that hurts them. It's somebody else's fault. Nobody wants to take responsibility. Well, it's time we start taking responsibility of why stuff has gotten like this. When we start looking at it that way, then we understand it's not Jim's problem. Did anybody go to Jim and tell him this? Maybe not. So then who's that come back on? It comes back on me because I haven't done what he's called me to do. So when on the way back, we were talking about it, and I was telling him, I was like, you know, we've been given all power. But a lot of times we don't understand it. Just like we've heard pastors say time and time again, if I take all the money out of my wallet and I give it to you, what do I have left? If I've given you all the money in my wallet, I ain't got nothing left in my wallet, right? Right. There's nothing left of all. If I give you all, there's nothing left. So if he's given us all power, then what power does he have? He has none. We've got it all. So then why are we getting bullied around? Because we've forgotten. We've lost track of who we are and where we're at, what we're called to be and what we're supposed to do. That's where we've dropped the ball at. A lot of times we sit back and we do the, well, I'm just a church member. It's pastor's job to pray for people. He's anointed to pray for people for healing and for deliverance and bonds to be broken. And he is. That is true. But it also says you are too. It says as disciples, right? The disciple, he sent the disciples out. Well, that's a student, right? So that just means, what are you doing right now? When we sit in that seat, we're learning Scripture. We're receiving Scripture the same way they did. So you're a disciple. So the only difference is their pastor was Jesus, and we have Pastor Brian, who was anointed by Jesus. So we're the same, right? Well, they went out. They laid hands on the sick. They recovered. They cast out demons. They came back with testimonies. So shouldn't we be doing that? Shouldn't I be doing that? So is it pastor's job? Yeah. It's his job and my job and your job. It's everybody's job. We're part of the church. We're part of the body. Jesus is the head. We're part of the body. So are we acting like a body if we're not following the head? Because what did Pastor Teddy or Teddy said several times when he was here? If my head is Paul, my body, that's not the same body, right? We're one. So if my head's called Jim, then my body's called Jim. So if Jesus is the head of the church, then we're Jesus' body.
That's right.
And if that's what he was doing, he was performing miracles, he was going out winning souls, he was going out teaching the good word, then aren't we supposed to do the same thing? Because if not, then we're disconnected. And that's what we've happened. We've gotten disconnected. So when he was giving me this message, it was pretty much started all the way from the foundation of all the questions. Well, I feel like this and this. Well, no, he broke it down and went all the way back to the beginning of who we're called to be, what we're called to do, why we're called to do it. And I sent Sherman a list of scriptures, and I doubt we're going to get through them. If we do, we're going to be here till like 3 o'clock. I mean, which I'm fine with. Y'all got quiet. I'm just kidding. We're not going to be here till 3. y'all don't have to give me the look already like I'm about to bail out now. I didn't have breakfast this morning. So if you will turn to Luke 4, we'll start in verse 18. So an impact, Pastor was talking about this week in the class that we're in, that Jesus was sent. He was anointed to preach. Well, if Jesus was sent, then he sent us, right? So that means we're sent in the same manner. So everything that he was doing and he was going out and doing, that's what we're called to do, right? Luke 4, 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. Are we doing that? I dropped the ball. I am not doing that on a regular. It's an everyday job. Jesus wasn't sent for one day. He was sent. We're sent. Until he comes back, we're sent. We don't go and then come back. We're sent. We keep going. Keep going. We keep going until he comes back. Until he says, let's go home. Barrett was talking about last week. That's getting close. It's close. We don't know if it's tomorrow. We might not make it to lunch, guys. It's that. It happens that fast.
Yeah.
I could be in the middle of a word and just boom. Yep. So that's why it's so important that when we hear this, we listen to it with open heart. We don't worry about our stomachs and saying it's time to go to lunch, or, well, I've got to hurry and get home because I got to work on my truck, or I got to get home because I got to type up a quote and get it sent out, because if I don't get it sent out today, I'm not get the job. Well, no, you do what you're supposed to do here, and then he'll make sure you have everything you need. He'll make sure there's help to help you work on your truck.
Yeah.
He'll make sure that quote, even though it's late, getting to the person that it needs to get to, it's going to be anointed by him that's going to bring you the favor.
Yeah.
The blessings are on you. So we got to put him first. We got to seek him. We got to rest in him. We got to be still and listen to him. And right now, he's talking to me just like he's talking to you. So I got kind of disappointed when I was in Baltimore. It was not what I expected. But God still moved. He's still God. People might not have been ready to receive him, but he was there to be received. And then when we got back, that's when I got this. And I was like, all right, I have dropped the ball, but I will not drop it again. I will purpose myself. I will make sure this word's living. I will make sure it lives in me. Because the word's living, but if we don't let it live in us, then it's not taking root in us. It's got to take root. It's got to grow in us. When we hear it, and then we get that seed, and then we listen to the word, the water in the word, and that seed starts to cultivate, it starts to grow, then it starts producing fruit. When it starts producing fruit, then that's more seeds. But if we're holding the word and we're not meditating on the word and we're not receiving what he's trying to give to us, then the seed's never going to grow. Jade planted 58 tulip bulbs in a garden. We got not a single one to come up. Why? She would forget to water it. We had things that came in that tried to steal them. We had cats that would try to dig them up. You don't just plant a seed and just leave it. You have to do work. It takes light. It takes water. It takes love being poured into it. That's why people that's got green thumbs, they love plants. I'm not one of those people. I hate mowing my grass. It wouldn't bother me if the grass would just die. Like, I'd rather just live at the beach and just have sand. Wouldn't bother me. But it takes that. So we got to grab a hold of this seed. This, what we're hearing today is a seed. And as I'm speaking it, I'm grabbing a hold of it because I need it. Yeah. It's not just I'm up here, just God told me to give this to you. No, God gives it to us as the body. But it's up to us to receive it. I can pray for somebody all day long, but if they're not willing to receive it, they're not going to receive it. Yeah. You have to listen to it with an open heart, ready to receive. Just like the ground. The ground has to be tilled. It has to be prepped for the seed to be able to take root. If not, then the seed's not going to work. It's not going to do its job. It's not going to grow. It's going to die. Matthew 26:18 says through 20 says, and Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples to all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the ages. Once again, we're sent. That's Jesus talking. It's red letters. Did he say, I just want you to go into Albemarle? No. Not just Charlotte. Not just North Carolina. He said all nations. That's why we're a church right now. Pastor isn't in another nation. He is in Africa. We're not called just to stay here. It's not just for us. It's for everyone. But if we are too worried about what's going on in another country to go there because we're in fear, then we're not doing what we're called to do. We're not doing what he commanded to do because we're not supposed to walk in fear. We talked about it on the broadcast Wednesday. We do not walk in fear. If fear comes on, we were talking about walking through the valley. It says he's close by. So if he's close by, I ain't fearing nothing. Well, he lives in us. So then why should I fear anything? I shouldn't. I shouldn't. But we have a flesh. There's reasons that get thrown in front of us that our flesh says we should fear. But when we grab a hold of the word and we let it become true and we understand what power we've been given, then as soon as that comes up, you're a liar. That's not going to work. That's a good tactic you had. Nice try. But you know what I'm going to do? Is I'm going to put on the strength. I'm going to laugh. I'm going to put on the joy. Pastor Nicole in morning prayer this morning said, what was it? The joy boat is afloat. We walk in his strength. When we get a report like that, a doctor's report, or we look at our bank account and we got a bill that comes in, our bank account says, oh, you broke. You think I'm broke? I don't believe that. Because I know I'm his, and if I'm his, that means that's not my bill, that's his bill. Yeah. So, all right, Lord, I've been faithful. I've planted seed. I've got seed in the ground. My harvest is coming. I'm not worrying about that bill. I'm not going to stress about it. That bill will be paid. That doctor's report, that's a lie. That cancer, that's a lie. It's a lie. That's all he has is lies. Because we have been given all power, and he has nothing. So the only thing he can do is try to tell you that you're lacking in this. No, I don't lack in nothing. I walk in the full manifestation of Christ Jesus. Provision is mine. Grace has been poured out on me. Mercy has been poured out on me. Healing's mine. I fear not. I tread on top of serpents. I do not worry about nothing. But we have to get that in us. We have to understand it. It's not just listening to it and saying, okay, well, I got it. No, you got to get it. Like, you got to know that you know. And that's why it says meditate on this word day and night. Because it has to become real to you. We can confess something all I've said on the broadcast. I can tell Oliver, no, 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 no. But if he don't know what the word no means, is he going to stop doing it? No. Because this is just another word to him. So I can confess no to him all day long, but if he don't understand what no means, it means nothing to him. So when we get this word, and then we dig into it, and we start understanding what this word is, and then we confess it, I walk in the power.
Right.
I fear nothing. I am blessed to be a blessing. I am above, never beneath. I am the head, never the tail.
Right.
I'm the lender. I will never borrow.
Right. Yeah.
Then guess what? Now you understand that what that word means. You know who you are. And then you start confessing it. I ain't borrowing nothing. I want to go buy a house. I ain't even writing a check. We're going to pay cash. That's why when I started the business, I didn't want to do that. I didn't want to be in any lack. I didn't want to be in any debt. So everything that all my tools, my truck, everything was paid for with cash. Because I didn't want to go into the business with any kind of debt, owing anybody money over my business. So that way, nobody can dangle anything over my head with the business. Well, if you don't give me this money, I'm taking your business. Ain't nobody taking my business. I don't care if it's competition. Ain't nobody taking my business. Because it's not my business. It's God's business. He's called me to it. And I know that. So when months come and you sit there and it's like, man, I don't have a job coming in, I ain't worried.
Yeah.
Job's coming in. I'll go ahead and tell you. February was one of those months. It was. All right, I'm supposed to go to Baltimore. We get back in Baltimore, I had a job lined up. We get back, find out that person had some issues come up, job fell through. No job fell through. Then all of a sudden, I get a phone call. One job, one job, one job, one job. Now I've got like five jobs
Amen.
Within the past week. I got to figure out how I'm going to get them all done because they want them done now.
Yeah.
That's a good problem to have.
Yeah.
So do I worry about lack? No. I'm not going to stress it. Because if I stress it, then I don't hear him. Just like Jay was saying. Then I'm not being still. I'm not hearing what he's trying to tell me. I'm not going where he's trying to tell me to go.
Amen.
Because if I would have known that before I went to Baltimore, I would have said, I don't have time to go to Baltimore.
Yeah.
I've got to find some business coming in.
Yeah.
But he was calling me to Baltimore for a reason. And me being obedient and saying, I'm going, then guess what happens? When I get back and the devil tried to come in and hit me with an attack and attack, attack, God said, I don't think so. He's obedient. He knows my word. He trusts in me. Now let me show you what I'm going to do. But we have to know that.
Yeah.
We have to understand that. We got to make it a part of us. We have to let it live in us. There's a difference of trying to take part with something. Like Pastor Nicole was saying today in prayer, a lot of times when we go grab Jesus' hand, we grab it like this. Well, that can easily be yanked apart. But when we grab it, we intertwine. I had a job. It was a landscaping job. I don't like landscaping. Once again, like I said, I don't like cutting grass. But it was one of those months. I felt like I was supposed to go. So I went. I was using an old high school friend of mine. And the bushes had never been trimmed for like 15 years. Boxwoods. I don't know if anybody knows about a boxwood, but those roots will intertwine and become a tangled up mess. They weren't pulling out. I asked them if I could go redneck style and tie a strap around with my truck and just yank them out with the truck. They weren't coming out. Sure, go ahead. That 5.7 liter Hemi hit a wall. Why? Because 13 bushes roots have gotten intertwined together. That's strong. So right now, what are we? We're them 13 bushes. Once we get this word together and we believe together, we unite together, we stay grow together, guess what? ain't nothing going to stop us.
Yeah.
It don't matter what it is, because when I hit it, I mean, I dropped it in four-wheel low, gunned it, and it was, I didn't go nowhere. I thought I ripped my transmission and my axle off the back of my truck. The sidewalk started coming up. The roots were that tight together. They weren't coming up. So I finally told the guy, I was like, look, I can cut them all the way down on the ground, but I ain't getting the root balls out. I don't know what I was like, I don't have a stump grinder. You're going to get somebody over a stump grinder and grind all this down. So when we intertwine ourselves with his word, see how much strength we can have? And that's just that's a couple bushes. There's more than 13 of us here. So just imagine, if 13 bushes have that much strength together, a bush, its job is just to grow. He didn't say all the bushes will go to nations and make disciples. No, it said we were. So if 13 bushes have that much strength together, imagine what we have with our voice,
Amen.
With our feet. We're the changers. It's up to us. But we got to grab a hold of this. We got to understand the power. That song they were singing at the end, the throne room, I don't know, but if you don't have goosebumps get on your arm when they start singing, the veil's been torn, the doors fling open.
Yeah.
Man, that's power. That's a song.
Yeah.
That's a song. This is a living word. So if a song has power like that and can get you going, this should be like octane booster. We've been given authority and power. But do we really know it? Do we really have it down in us? Is it really intertwined in our souls? Inside of us? Or is it just a word that's just falling on the ground? Luke 10:19. Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will injure you. Read it in the Amplified. I like the Amplified version. Listen carefully. If Jesus is telling you to listen carefully, that means you should probably get quiet and get real still and pay attention to what he's about to say, because it's important. Listen carefully. I've given you authority that you now possess. You ain't waiting on it. You now possess it. To tread on serpents and scorpions, and the ability to exercise authority. Now, you have the ability, but it's up to you if you're going to exercise it. Now, I can tell Oliver all day long, no. But it's up to him if he's going to stop doing it. I can't make him do it. I can teach him. I can show him. But I can't make him. He has to exercise that. The ability to exercise authority over all the power of the enemy, Satan. And nothing will in any way harm you. In any way. It ain't going to touch your bank account. It ain't going to touch your health. It ain't going to touch your mind. It ain't going to touch your household. It ain't going to touch your vehicle. It ain't going to touch your dog. Why? Nothing will in any way harm you. If something happens to my dog, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to cry. I love my dog. I've put in work with that dog. That dog has cost me a lot of money. And it took a long time to get her right. And now that dog's like a kid to me. She hadn't been feeling good. What did we do yesterday? We laid hands on her and prayed for her.
That's right.
Why? Because she's part of my family.
Yeah.
Ain't nothing going to touch my family.
Yeah.
I don't care if it's the dog. What it is. It's got to go.
Yeah.
She might have four legs instead of two, but she's family. She's in my possession. Everything of mine will prosper.
Yeah.
Yeah. Will live. People online is probably laughing because I don't care. You can laugh at me. I know it. I ain't afraid to pray. My daughter ain't afraid to pray. She will lay hands on you in a heartbeat. The other day, my cousin, my niece wasn't feeling good. I asked her if she wanted me to pray for her. She told me no. Scarlett said, I want to pray for you. And she was like, She had her blanket up laying in the bed. Scarlett was like, she wanted me to pray for her. I was like, well, you take your hand and you put it on her head. I was like, you pray. She's your family. You take authority on it. You pray. But it's up to that person to receive it. See, a lot of times we'll pray for somebody and we'll get discouraged because the doctor report don't change. It ain't you. It definitely ain't God. Sometimes it's the person that's hearing it. They just ain't ready to receive it. Their faith ain't where it needs to be. That's why when I'm talking this morning, I'm wanting to lay the foundation before we really get down to it. Because I want you to know what you're called to do. What we're called to do. Whose we are. What we have. How powerful it is. We're overcomers. Word tells us that. We're overcomers. Jesus overcame. He lives inside of us. There's no overcomer inside of us. I don't think I ever read in the Bible anywhere. If I missed it, then somebody can tell me. I don't think I ever read the Bible said that Jesus had a cough. And if I'm supposed to walk just like he did, then I shouldn't have a cough. Did it say he had a splinter? He was a carpenter. Did it ever say he cut his finger with a saw? Had a sew it back on? He got a splinter? Anything like that? Nope. No flu? No cancer? Did it ever say he had to borrow money from somebody to go to another city to take the word? I didn't think I had ever read that. So if he didn't ever have to borrow money from somebody, God always provided everything. He didn't walk in any kind of sickness. He was given power, and he lives inside of me, then guess what? I ain't lacking in nothing. I'll go where he's called to go, whether it's going to cost me $10,000, and he's going to give me the $10,000, because he's calling me there. If he tells me to go lay hands on that person, I'm going to go lay hands on that person. If they don't receive it, I'm not going to get discouraged, because he told me to do it, I was obedient, and if they ain't rejecting me, they're rejecting him. See, that's where we get, a lot of times, we get offended. Lord, I prayed for them like you told me to, and they didn't get up. You made me look like a dummy. No. You didn't look like a dummy. They looked like the dummy because they weren't receiving it. God sent you to them to bring something to them, to bring life to them, a life-changing word to them, and they rejected it, just like Jesus hung on the cross in front of a lot of people. Did everybody receive him? And they firsthand seen the power. And still, there were some that said, I don't believe that junk. Somebody just stole his body. And then when he stood there, that's just a lookalike. No, it was right there in front of them. When you go pray for somebody, it's right there in front of them. But it's up to them to receive it. Now, when I went to Baltimore, I was believing we're going to see some people get up out of some wheelchairs. I'd been believing it. Jay was believing on it. I still believe he was trying to. Didn't nobody get up? And in that moment right there, I started to get discouraged. When I got up there to speak, because there was supposed to be a lot of people, and it turned out just to be 25, and I'm like, man, did I miss this? And then I'm standing there, I see one guy come in the room. I knew right then, nope, he's the reason why I'm in Baltimore. It ain't these other 24 people, it's him. Yeah. He will send you for one person. Yeah. 2 days in another city away from your family and all that for one person is worth it to him. Yeah. Because that one life, what you don't realize is that one life, he was going to prison the next day. I found this out afterwards. He's paralyzed, found out he got in a wreck. In the wreck, he got arrested. Found out he's paralyzed, he's arrested, he's going to jail. Long time. He wouldn't speak to nobody. No nurses, none of the cops, nothing. No emotion. Wouldn't cry. When they broke up in the groups there, he was by himself. Didn't get in a group. I went around, because when I got up there to speak, it was like speaking to a wall. So I was just like, okay, well, it's you. So then they're like, we're going to break them up in small groups. Would you mind going around? I was like, yeah, I'll go around. And maybe this is what he's wanting right here, get a little bit more intimate with them on a personal level in a smaller group. This group, nope. This group, nope. This group, nope. I went to him, who was sitting by himself, and as soon as I spoke, it's like a light hit him. He wanted it. I told him, I was like, before I leave, we're going to pray. I was like, no, we can pray back here, away from everybody, or we can pray right here. I was like, I'll pray by myself. I'll pray in front of 100 people. But God wants me praying for you right now. Well, then pray right here. I ain't got to go nowhere. Led him into salvation, prayed for blessings, favor, bondages to be broken, healing to start manifesting. I leave, I find out the next day, he started crying after I left. He started hanging around the rest of the people that was in that room, started talking to them, wanted to know if he can get my number to contact me. Yes, because I want to hear the testimonies. Then I found out the day after that, that's when I found out he was going to jail the very next day. They're like, well, you sure you want him to have your number? He's going to jail. Yeah, I'll accept that collect call. Because he's going to call me and say, hey, I got in here. I'm in here for a reason. You came by just the right time. Because now I'm in here, and I'm leading this person and this person and this person. Everybody in here now knows Jesus. Because of being obedient and him hearing the word and understanding the power that was behind that word. Because I told him, I was like, it's not me. This is between you and him. All I'm doing is what I'm told to do. You got to hear the word, you got to receive the word, and then you got to understand the word. And when you do that, that's when the things start happening. He was the only one that was willing to receive it, and he received it right then. So God will send you for one person. There's power in your words. You understand this word, and you get it in you, then when you speak, there's power behind it. Just like when he spoke into existence, he spoke it, because there's power in it. There's life and death in the tongue. Choose life. Speak life. So when the bank account looks like you're broke, I ain't confessing that I'm broke. I'm a millionaire. I receive it right now. If anybody wants to send a check, I'll take it. I will never be sick. Cancer will not fall on me. It will not fall on my family. My household is protected. It's protected by the blood of Jesus that he shed for me that day. But we have to understand that. John 16:33 says, these things I have spoken to you so that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but take courage, I have overcame the world. Amen. He's already overcame it for you. So don't carry it. When it tries to come at you, the joy of the Lord is your strength. You laugh at it. He's the toothless lion. He says he roars around like a roaring lion. They don't say that he is. It says like one, because he's an imposter. He just tries to lie to you. What does a bully do? He blows his chest up and tries to look real big. But if you know who you are and you know what you got inside you, you ball back and you hit that bully right in the center of the chest, what's going to happen? All that air is going to get exhaled. He's going to fall on the floor. Because all it was a pump up. Right. That's all he's doing is walk around trying to flex his chest on you. I'll go ahead and tell you, when I bounced, there was guys that were bigger than me. Believe it or not, sometimes I was like, I don't know if I can do this. I might need a couple people. But I've always been one of those people, I don't never let somebody back me down. So there's been plenty of times big guys get in front of me, and I was like, you know what, you might look bigger than me, but there's a lot more fight in this dog. So that's what he's trying to do. He's trying to make himself look bigger than you. There's a lot more fight in you. There's a lot more power in you. There's a lot more strength in you. Why? Because you've been given all authority, all power. He ain't got nothing. He got nothing. He's a senior running down the hallway thinking he can pick on every freshman until he runs into that 400-pound freshman and says, I don't think so, bud. I'm going to shove you in the locker.
Yeah. That's good.
A lot of times, I remember when I was a freshman in high school, the varsity football team was intimidating guys. Believe it or not, when I was a freshman in high school, I was only like, what, 5'7"? 5'7". Walking down the hallways, and I was looking up to everybody. I was that size until my senior year, and then I went to 6'4". So even when I was little, I knew there was something big inside of me. It just ain't got there yet. I was just waiting on it. I had already received it. I was just waiting on it. And then when I received it, then I was like, oh, yeah. That was a good try you had back 3 years ago. You want to try that again? So slowly, I got revenge on all my older cousins. One of them, I got the best. I put him through a wall. That was great. But he was always the worst. I would walk in a room. They would lock the door on me, beat the dog mess out of me. And then if I went and told somebody, then the next thing I know, I was drug out in the middle of the woods, beat and left. He always instigated it. He don't do it no more. Because I finally realized what kind of power I had. It's like we might have been beaten up this week, but after the day, there's something different. There's a strength that's coming right now inside of you. So when he tries to come tomorrow, he tries to come when you walk out that door, you're going to smack him right in the mouth and say, nice try, shut up, go on. When he tries to come at your kids, I suggest you go ahead and leave now, bud.
Yeah.
Barking up the wrong tree.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're not of this world. It says, they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. We've been given authority over this.
Yeah.
It's our job. It's our job to flex our power on him. Show him this is the wrong people to mess with. We know who we are. We know who we belong to. We know what family we reside in. Genetics are a big thing. Go ahead and tell you, Muhammad Ali, bad man in the ring. His daughter, I ain't getting in the ring with her. Why? Because there was something passed down to her. There's been something passed down to us.
Yeah.
He knew he couldn't get in the ring with Jesus. But for some reason, we've let him think that he can get in the ring with us.
Yeah.
But I'll go ahead and tell you, he knows who I am.
Yep.
As he comes trying to me, wait, hold on a second, wait, guys. He's figured something out. He knows what he's been given.
Yeah.
You might want to back off that one a little bit.
Right. Yeah.
You might want to go over there. That's why after today, don't mess with Julie. Don't mess with her. She just received something. Our time at her house is done.
Yeah.
We ain't messing with them trouble fields. Every time we go over there, I walk away with a broke jaw.
Yeah. Amen.
He meets us in the yard with a shotgun. It's time to go. Don't mess with those boomerang people.
Yeah.
Even if they're not in the church, don't mess with them when they're in Africa.
Yeah.
They carry it with them.
Yeah.
Why? Because we're called to carry it with us.
Yeah.
It don't say just on Sunday.
Right.
I seen a thing it was talking about trying to build, strengthen your spirit. When you try to get strong, you don't go to the gym just on Monday. You ain't going to do nothing. You got to go every day. I used to be one of those people. I went almost every day. Don't anymore. No, not at all. I like cookies. Same thing with our spirit. If we're only exercising our spiritual muscles on Sunday, are we ever going to grow to be able to fight him on Wednesday when he tries to come at us? Nope. So when he comes Wednesday, if all we do is worry about Sunday, well, I went to church.
Right.
I listened to the word.
Right.
Wednesday comes. That's my money. Okay.
Yeah.
I need to go back. Wait until Sunday.
Yeah.
Sunday, I get you.
Yeah.
It's like, what's the movie? Friday. When Debo's around, I'll be quiet. When he leaves, I talk again. That's how a lot of us are. Sunday, don't mess with us. Monday comes, God, man, you got me. 6 more days and I'll get you again. But that's how we've gotten. That's how the church has gotten.
Right.
Don't mess with us on Sunday, but man, you come get us on Tuesday now. Tuesday after work day on Monday, I might not be speaking Jesus.
That's good.
He knows that.
Yeah.
He knows a lot of us have forgotten who we are. Right. He knows a lot of the church has forgotten who they are.
Right.
But right now, we know we're a church. Right. We know what we're called to. We know what we're called to walk in. He will not touch us.
Right.
He's so afraid of us, he ain't going to touch nothing in Stanley County. I got to get outside of this county.
Yeah.
Them guys are everywhere. They're in Baden. They're in Norwood. They're in Locust. Man, they're even going up into Rockwell. They're going into other counties now.
Right.
What are we going to do? We got to get out of North Carolina.
Right.
Don't go to Africa. Go ahead and tell you. There's somebody over there right now from one of them boomerang churches.
Yeah.
He going to smack you in the mouth too.
Yeah.
Don't go to the Philippines. We've been there too.
Yeah.
You're running out of areas.
That's it. Yeah.
Because we're understanding who we are.
That's it.
Today, we're flexing our spiritual muscles. Today we're doing the tune-up on the hot rod. It's been riding a little rough, but today all the kinks are getting worked out.
Yeah, yeah.
That thing's going to be a smooth shifting machine. When we hit the gas pedal, there's not going to be any hesitation. The wheels are going to start turning. We're going to leave marks where we're at because we're receiving something right now.
Yeah. Amen.
But you got to be willing to receive it. Last night, see, sometimes we think we have a sense of pride that comes on us, and we don't want to ask for help. That's a number one mistake. Pride will get you nowhere.
Yeah.
Sometimes somebody else knows a little bit more than you know.
Yeah.
Go ahead and tell you.
Mm-hmm.
Pastor knows a lot more than I know. There's people, some of y'all's. No more than I do in certain spots. Yeah, my mom knows all. But like last night, Jay's been having sickness. She's been praying. Everything. But last night, Jay was sitting in the bed, and I had been waiting. And last night, Jay was sitting in the bed, and she was like, I had a dream. She goes, and you was at the bank, and I was trying to get to the bank, but there was two like witches. They were running me down. It was like I was running in slow motion. I tried to speak to them, and it was slowing them down. But I was trying to get to you, because when you spoke, they flew back and their color changed.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because sometimes we need somebody to be in agreement with us.
Yeah.
Because what we were saying earlier, when we're intertwined,
yeah,
it's a force to be reckoned with.
Yeah.
It's one thing when you got one person praying for something, but then when you get 30 people believing and agreeing and praying together, nations shake.
That's right. Yeah.
Counties change. Cancer leaves.
Yep. Yeah.
Finances come. Blessings come. Souls are won.
Yep.
So we prayed. As we were praying last night, the joy started hitting her. Why? The joy of the Lord is your strength.
Yeah. Yeah.
So when he tries to come at you with a sickness, laugh at it.
Yeah.
I don't care if you start laughing, you start coughing. Cough, laugh until the cough stops happening. Because that laugh is getting the cough out of you.
Right.
It's pulling the junk out of you.
Yeah.
It's pulling the sickness out of you.
Yeah.
That's how strong he is.
Yeah.
But you got to be willing to do it.
Yeah.
You have to. We don't look at our flesh. We look at him.
Yeah.
When we get quiet, when we get still, when we listen to him, he'll tell you exactly what to do. Sometimes he might say, you need to call your pastor. This is an area where you're still growing in. You might not exactly know exactly what you need. Sometimes I've thought I knew what I needed. It was not what I needed. Pastor, don't mind telling you that. That's why sometimes you've heard Pastor talk about when he gets around certain ministries, you feel like it's the kid looking the window. I do that a lot. I used to be one of those people, sometimes Pastor had to get on to me because sometimes I like to talk. Sometimes. And Pastor was like, before we went to the Philippines, he goes, that's one thing. He goes, I want you to work on while we're over there. He goes, I want you to just sit back and just listen. It's hard for me to sit in a conversation with 13 people and me not talk. I was like, man, you know how bad that's going to hurt? Like, I could sit on my hands and stop them from moving. But I can't do this in conversation. What's wrong with you? Nothing. But he knows more than I know, so I was like, okay. I received some stuff when I was in the Philippines. When I was sitting at that table, and there's three pastors from Nigeria that's been moving in some power. I'm sitting beside a pastor who's been moving with some power. I'm in a place I've never been before. I'm at a table I ain't never been at before.
Yeah.
So when I got quiet and I actually shut up and was listening,
yeah,
I learned a lot of things.
Yeah. Yeah.
So sometimes when we shut up and we listen, he'll teach us a lot of things.
Yeah.
I'm still trying to work on that. I've gotten better. I have. Still growing. You don't just get an apple tree overnight. It takes some work. I said at the beginning, it takes work. I'm trying. Then if I don't speak, a lot of times Jade's like, what's wrong with you? I'm trying to be quiet. Been told I'm trying. I get it, honest. My whole family. Get us all in a room together. Ain't nobody understanding what anybody's saying because we're all talking over each other. Somebody starts talking loud, I start talking louder, and that person's talking loud, and then it's like, you're 10 blocks down the road, you're like, man, there's a party going on somewhere, or somebody's about to die. So now we know what we're called to do. We know what we have in us. But do we really know whose we are? Because that's the number one key. Isaiah 43:1 says, but now thus says the Lord, your creator, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name.
Yeah.
You are mine.
Yeah.
We're his.
Amen.
We're his.
Yeah. Yeah.
That means no part of us belongs to this world. We're his.
Right.
So when he tries to attack and tries to come on, I'll go ahead and tell you, if somebody came up and tried to touch Oliver that ain't supposed to touch him, I'll go ahead and tell you, we're going to dig some holes. I got family in South Carolina that has a lot of property. So you think, and if I'm that protective over him,
right,
how much more protective do you think he is? He's called us by name.
Yeah.
That means he personally said, Jared, you're mine.
Yeah.
Barrett, you're mine.
Yeah.
So now, when you really dig down and understand that, do you really think he's going to come up and say, hey, Jared, I'm going to throw a little cough on you? Oh, no, because he knows if you're that protective of your kids, how much more protective is he?
Yeah.
It's going to be a bad day. It's going to be a bad day. All this stuff you see on the news, kids going to the bus stop, they're going missing. You'll put up, that will never happen to my kids.
Yeah.
Not because I'm their dad. Because I can only be in so many places.
Yeah.
But he's everywhere.
Yeah.
Ain't nothing going to touch them. Because they're his.
Yeah.
He has called them. Scarlett, you're mine. Oliver, you're mine.
Yeah.
That Stallings family, they're mine.
Yeah.
Nothing will harm them.
Yeah.
No weapon formed against them will prosper. Why? Because they're mine.
Yeah.
They're mine. I've called them.
Yep.
They're my family. Right?
Yeah.
We're intertwined with him. He's got a grip so tight on us like those bushes, we ain't going nowhere. He ain't pulling us away. When we choose to intertwine ourselves with him, when we choose to grip him,
right,
when we choose and say, you know what? I trust you. I believe you. You're my foundation. Ain't nothing going to break it apart.
Yeah.
Nothing's going to come against it. Nothing. It's like cross thread and a bolt. You ain't getting it off. That thing locked on. Have fun with that. You're going to be under that vehicle for a while. Might as well get your saw out. You're going to cut some stuff. You're going to tap and die. It's going to be a mess. Why? Because it's threaded itself onto it. It's bonded itself to it. It's grabbed a hold of it and locked itself in and said, I know it. I ain't letting you go. That's what we got to do. His truth supersedes all facts. With him, everything is possible. Matthew 19:26, and looking at them, Jesus said to them, with people, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. So when the world tells you you're broke, no, I'm a millionaire. You're crazy. No, that word right there tells me with God. But God, like Barrett was saying, but God,
right.
But God.
Right,
yeah. Well, you got cancer. It's incurable. We'll give you 5 years. Oh, that's what you say.
Right, right.
But his word tells me 120 years.
Yeah, yeah.
I ain't 120.
Right.
I won't be here for a long time.
Yeah.
That's a long time I got. See, I ain't got to be in a rush about getting quiet. I got a lot of time. A lot of years left. See? There's nothing too big for God. Jesus beat the grave. So Jesus beat the grave. Cancer tries to take you to the grave, right? Jesus already beat it. So don't that mean you've already beat cancer?
Yeah.
Heart failure tries to come in. Well, he beat the grave. That's trying to put you in a grave. You've already beat it.
Yeah.
Bronchitis tries to come in. That ain't even going to take you to the grave, but guess what? It ain't got a chance.
Yeah.
Somebody's getting some strength. Jeremiah 32:26-27. Then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, saying, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is anything too difficult for me? Nope. So, Chris's testimony during Kickstart. Business doubled in a week. Was it difficult? It was easy. God's way. It's easy. Cancer. You got to do all this chemo. It breaks down your body. It's hard to go through it. Well, God says, what was that? It's not difficult for him. God says, you're healed. It's like, in Latin, rub the lamp. Doctor says I got cancer. You're good. That quick.
Yeah.
I ain't got to go through 6 months of chemo and feel like I'm dying and my bones are on fire. And one word changes everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
It only takes 60 seconds. It'll take you longer to drive to the church than to receive what you need.
Yeah.
Before you can pick up the phone to call a pastor and say, I need you to pray for me, it's already there. When you understand this, it's not difficult. It's as simple as knowing who you are, where your strength comes from, what you've been given, and then saying, I don't think so. Nice try. Might want to bow your chest up on somebody else. I've ate my spinach today. I got my Popeye arms. Bad news. It's like, I can't say that. We've received power. Who's received power?
Yeah.
Who's still receiving power? Who's flexing the muscles right now? So this week, we may have been attacked, and we might have let it get the best of us. I did. Until I really understood this, then I knew exactly what was going on. I was like, okay, I understand. It's not just for them, it's for me too. So yesterday, even after I had already typed this up, I went and sat down in my office, which I found it's clean now. I can actually get in my office. It's great. Yeah, you've seen it. It's good. I can actually get in there. Now I just need to get a new office chair. So then I can be comfortable. But sitting there, and started going over it again. And I started receiving more. Because no matter how many times you hear it, there's always more to receive. He's too much to comprehend. We can't receive everything that he has We're not big enough. He's too big for us. So every time, that's where you've heard Pastor talk about, he's heard messages before, but he don't, just because he's heard it, he still tunes in. Why? Because there's still something else you can receive. There's always more that you can receive. He's too big. We have to really understand it. So no matter if Pastor comes back and he preaches the same exact message, and I suggest you get quiet and you listen, because the word that God's given him that day might have a different revelation that's going to happen with this message. I know we've all heard, oh, we're not supposed to be sick. Yep, all right. He's talking about that again. I'm going to check. Oh, let me check on Facebook. I'm going to check my bank account. Well, guess what? While you're doing that, you're receiving something. You're missing something that you could be receiving right now, because maybe it's not for you today. Maybe it's something that you need to receive to take somebody else. Maybe it's somebody that maybe you need to receive it and take it to Texas. Maybe you're supposed to take it to Canada. Eh? Because every time we hear this word, we receive something. If we really understand this word is a living word, then we understand that every time we hear it, something's growing. That root is getting intertwined even more. It's strengthening itself to where we're a powerhouse. Pastor Nicole had a title of the message when I sent her my notes for her to just to go over and make sure everything I was talking on was lining up the way it's supposed to. Because, you know, I have a flesh. Sometimes I can miss things too. I had titled it, Oh, What Power We Possess. And Pastor Nicole said I need to change it to We Got the Power. And I laughed. But you know what? It's true. Yeah. And as soon as I read it and I started laughing, he confirmed it. Because he gave me some joy. It's like, I was like, oh, that's right. Because we do. And if I've got it, I can only do so much. Because I'm only one person. I can only be in one area at a time. But when we're a body and we understand the vision of this church, the vision that Pastor's been given, we can be a lot of places. His power can be taken to a lot of places. A lot. Pastors in Africa, 450 souls have been won before this morning. That's with Pastor and Stephen. Now imagine, we all get a hold of this and what we're supposed to do and where we're supposed to go and listen to where we're supposed to go. That could be 450, 450, 450, 500, 700, 1,000, 1,000,000. And guess what? That's not one day. If we're all those places and when we're called to be, guess what? All that can happen like that.
Yeah.
Boom. Why? Because he's called us to every nation. We've been given power not for ourselves. Now, we're supposed to walk in it, but we're also supposed to take it. He sent us. So it's not just to understand this, now I've got it. You're not going to mess with Paul's household. No, because I'm going to take it to the Nauer household, yeah. And then Nauer's going to take it to the Troublefields household. They're going to take it to the Buck's household. They're going to take it to the Beard's household. Why? Because you don't hold on to something that you've been given. You release it.
Yeah.
You have to give it. What are we talking about? Offerings. You give, and then he blesses you. You've been given a blessing. You've been given power. The power is not just for you. It's for everybody. If we hold it to ourselves, then is anybody ever going to know it? When I was in Baltimore, I was talking to this guy. That guy in the wheelchair was from the worst neighborhood in Baltimore. You know what happened? And I guarantee you there's a church in Baltimore that's moving. But probably what they said is, that's a dangerous town. We probably shouldn't go in there.
Yeah.
Well, guess what? I know who's inside of me. And if he tells me to go there, then I don't care. I'm going to go. You can pull the gun on me, but guess what? You pull the trigger, that bullet ain't going to fire. Why? Because I'm carrying something with me. I'm carrying a power in me that's not going to stop me from doing what he's told me to do. So if he tells me to go, I'm going. And I'm not going to be in fear, and I'm not going to lack in nothing. I'm going to carry everything that I'm supposed to carry because he's called me there. He's called you there. So there's 350 people were shot and killed in that one neighborhood last year. Somebody's supposed to go there. But you know what? Somebody has forgotten who they are. Somebody has forgotten who they're called to be, and they missed it. I won't miss it. When he tells me to go to that neighborhood, I'm going to go to that neighborhood. Me and somebody that used to come to this church, we went to Amherst. We had a guy telling us some bad things. He was wanting to do a lot of things to us. But he couldn't. He literally couldn't. His fists were bald. There was veins bulging in his neck. But he couldn't move. Why? Because we were supposed to be there. We were taking something there. We were called to go there. We carry something with us. And no weapon formed against me will prosper. So while that person was speaking to him and he was frozen and couldn't do anything, his friend got led to the Lord right beside him. Why? Because we carry something with us. When we get around, it tries to come against us, it can't do anything. It freezes. It's in fear. Because it's, hold on, that guy's got Jesus in him. Don't mess with him. Maybe he's like a T-Rex. If I just stand still, he won't see me. But you got to understand, that's what you carry. It's not a joke. Like, that's what you carry. We're called to be that. But a lot of times we forget it. It's important. Just like right now, that is important. People might go, oh, she's over here. That's the joy. That strength being downloaded to her right now. That's what she's supposed to be receiving. So sometimes what you're getting, it might not look like what you think it's supposed to look like. It don't tell you. Nobody should laugh in church. They should just sit there very quietly. Nod their heads. Amen. No. Put on his joy. That's what joy looks like. And guess what? That's what strength looks like. So that day when we were sitting there talking and that guy was trying to do anything, you know what we did? We were praying in the Holy Spirit and we were laughing. So I will he will put you in front of the enemy. And the enemy will try to do things. But when you know who you are, that enemy can't touch you. You are set above them. They're underneath you. When you realize that, that's like, right now, if Oliver tried to come at me, I'm going to laugh. Why? He ain't going nowhere. That's what we are. That's what he is. He's that little. So when we realize that, and he's trying to do this number, what am I going to do? I'm going to laugh because no matter what he tries, he ain't getting to me. So in those moments, you realize, you can go ahead and try, bud. Why don't you just go? You'd be better off looking at that window. Because it ain't going to happen. I know who my God is. I know who my Father is. I know who my brother is. Probably don't want to mess with them. They're some bad men when it comes to it. They will beat you down for messing with me. My little brother is in the Marines. I've had to go help him a lot. Even though he's in the Marines, sometimes guys in the Marines working in bars, they think they're really big, and sometimes they realize they're not. And I've had to. Why? Because if you touch him, he's mine. You touch him, I will put my hands on you. If you touch my son, I will put my hands on you. You come at my family, and I will put my hands on you. Why? Because they've been given to me for me to protect them. I have been given him. He has chose me, so he will protect me. So when he tells me to go in that neighborhood, I'm going to go. Yeah. If he tells me to fly to a country who's in the middle of a war, I'm going to go. Because ain't no missile, nothing going to shoot down my plane. Because he's called me to go there. When he tells me to go into a neighborhood where it had 350 shooting and shooting death by shootings last year, I'm going to walk in there and not going to walk like this and look around the corner. Okay. No, I'm going to walk in just like this. Why? Ain't nothing going to touch me. It ain't going to come against me. You can try, and then when the guy comes up, hey, think you're the wrong person in the neighborhood. I might be, but the guy that's inside of me isn't. Good try. Let me introduce you to him. Boom, power of God hits him. Why? Because when you get around something like that, Everything else is going to fall. Just like that guy. He was saying some very vulgar things. I'll go ahead and tell you, can't say it in church. Probably shouldn't say it, period, outside of church. And I'm not a little guy. The guy that was with me, not a little guy, same size as me. This guy was this tall. And then when we started praying in tongues, don't you speak that Hebrew language at me. He was carrying something. Wasn't what he was supposed to be carrying. And guess what? He got around some people that knew who they were, and he was doing everything he could to try not to get beat down. And in that moment, he realized, they're carrying something stronger than I am. I'm stuck. And his friend seen it. And then his friend said, wait a second. There's something different over here. So I'm going to listen to what they're saying. Because I know him, and he's a bad man, and he can't do nothing right now. So something's not right. I want to figure this out. He received it right then. We're supposed to walk in that power. We're called to walk in that power. That's the evidence of who we are, whose we are. When you get around people like that, you know that God's with them. You know they are filled with the Holy Spirit, and they know their word. And I suggest you figure out what they got that you ain't got, and you start getting around them, and you start getting quiet, because they're going to teach you some things. Acts 1:8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest part of the earth. Remotest. So that's a little tiny place dot on the map that nobody can see. That you got to get your magnifying glass out for. It's everywhere. It's the bad neighborhood. It's the good neighborhood. It's the poor neighborhood. It's the rich neighborhood. Middle class neighborhood. Hospital. Military base. Bus stop. Taxi driver, your Uber driver. I'm going to say that was my first Uber ride. First time ever using Uber was when I was Baltimore. It was our third ride where I got to speak to the guy. First two guys, I thought I was in fear. I thought I was going to die. Yeah, I ain't supposed to walk in fear, but man, he was tempting it. I mean, there were several times I seen it, like flash, like, is this it? Like, am I going home? Like, are you calling me now? But then when we walked out and they got in the car, as soon as they opened the door, I knew I was in the car for a reason. Me and Jade started talking to the guy, and we were about halfway back to the hotel, and that's what he said. He's like, I feel like you're supposed to be in this car tonight. I was like, I know. No one's supposed to. Because he's called me somewhere. He's not going to call me somewhere and he'll not move. We got back to the hotel, and as soon as he was putting them in the park, I was like, can I pray with you? And his immediate response was, I wasn't going to let you out the car until you did. You beat me to the punch. Because he knew when we opened that door and got in there that there was a couple in his car that was carrying something different than all the other guys that people had been in his car that day. And he wanted to hear what they had to say. He wanted to receive what they had to give. Well, he's given me a power. He's given you a power. But it's up to us to give it to the world. Just like Pastor talks about, he's talked about finances a lot. Why? Because if he can't trust us with money, you think he's going to trust us with the power, with the gifts? We gotta be obedient. When he says, pray for this person, you pray for that person. Yeah. You don't say, well, I'm feeling kind of bad. I'm going to pray for myself. I don't care if you got a cough. I guarantee you go pray for that person. Your cough leaves.
Yeah, amen.
Because you're releasing something.
Yeah.
He's not. You're not going to release something and not receive something.
Right.
You don't lack in nothing.
Yep.
So that means every bit of things that come out of you is going right back into you. So just like right now, I'm speaking this word that's been given to me, and guess what? I'm receiving it too.
Yeah.
That's how he works. So we can't hold on to it. We got to let it go. If we hold on to it, then the world's never going to know. Then we're going to be like some of the other churches that are around these neighborhoods and just letting stuff happen. Instead of taking spiritual authority of the region that they've been put in and saying, that won't happen here. Because we are here. We know who we are. God has placed us here, and that neighborhood will not have a single death in it this year. We have to understand that. As a church body, we've been placed in an area for a reason. That's our area. But guess what? That's not our only area. We're called to all nations. But it starts here. You have to be fed and grow before you can go and be sent. And then when you get sent, you go and you take what you've received, and then guess what? You come back and you get more. He fills you back up. So we got to start doing a better job with that. That's why when we look at situations that's going on in just the United States right now, why? Because there's a lot of churches that are in those areas that don't quite understand, and they've gotten afraid to offend somebody and tell them that they shouldn't be doing something. I like football. I used to be one of those ones, 12 o'clock, all right, Pastor, game comes on at 1. I would get my phone out and start looking at ESPN. Got fantasy football going on. Let's see if I'm winning. But then I realized it's stupid because what I'm doing is I'm taking my attention off the thing that's going to bring me the provision I'm trying to get by winning the fantasy football league. But I love my Dallas Cowboys. I'm giving up watching them. When I do that, I'm receiving something bigger. I'm receiving something better than the Dallas Cowboys. I want to receive the Dallas Cowboys franchise money. I receive it. Why? Because I want to give him what he tells me to give him, and I want to pick up what he's trying to give me. Because if my hand is full over here, I can't receive what he's trying to give me until I let this go and pick up what he's trying to give me. But if we're not willing to let go of the things that we thought we knew, to pick up the things he's trying to show us, we're never going to receive it. And if we don't never receive it, then we can never go out and give it. Then we'll never understand what we're called to do, what kind of power we're called to walk in. So then when the devil tries to come and say, here's a cough, what are you going to do? I'm not going to be able to make it to church Sunday. I got a cough. Because you missed a word that you were supposed to receive. That I was supposed to receive because I was too busy with my nose in ESPN. So then guess what? Now that sickness carried over to Monday. Now I'm out of work Monday. I'm out of work Tuesday. And guess what? Now I got lack. I'm sick. Now I got lack because I missed 3 days of work. Maybe I should have paid attention and received the power that he was trying to show me that I had on Sunday. That would have brought me strength on Monday. Would have brought me more provision on Friday. That was totally not in my notes. I don't know. Maybe somebody needed to hear that. But when we look at Acts is the powerful one. This is how the church is supposed to be. Didn't say that this was just for them to write the book of Acts. Didn't say, well, this is just till then. And now that's just a history book. Well, Book of Acts is supposed to be still going on. This power is supposed to still be moving through the church. The church is supposed to still be moving this way. Acts 5, 15, and 16. This is, now you understand now whose we are, what we're called to do, the power that we have. This is the power that we're supposed to have. This is how strong we're supposed to walk in it. Also, the people from the cities in the vicinity of Jerusalem were coming together, bringing people who were sick or afflicted with unclean spirits, and they were all being healed. They were hearing from other cities and were coming to see what's going on because they knew that guy that was there ministering that week during Kickstart was carrying something. They knew that minister from Albemarle, North Carolina that was in Africa was carrying something because he knew the power that he was called to walk in, and they were coming. They were coming. They were like, I'm not going to miss it. I don't care if I got to walk 3 hours. I'm coming and receive something because he's got something I need. Because the power was evident. They knew what the power they walked in. Peter knew what he had been given, and he knew that it wasn't just for him. He knew it was for everybody. So he was taking it. They were going city to city, taking it. They were being sent out, taking the power. They don't ever say they went to 7 cities and all of a sudden he was out of power and he just went home and retired and kicked back in the recliner. And nope. And what happened? They kept going and going like the Energizer Bunny. Power never stopped. Because every time they were going and praying for people, they were receiving that power. They were receiving it. They started understanding. They started getting a bigger revelation, like, oh my gosh, like she had a cough. She was healed. His leg was broken. Now he's walking. Oh, that's a little bit more. I know what's going on. He had cancer. He ain't got cancer no more. He was dead. He came up. Oh, my God. Every time they prayed for somebody, they were receiving something. It was a bigger revelation to them of just how much they had been given, what kind of power they were walking in, what kind of authority they had. They carried the sick into the streets and laid them on cots and pallets so that when Peter came by, at least his shadow might fall on one of them. Peter knew what he had. The people knew what he had. Man, if we can just get around this guy, he ain't even got to pray for me. If he'll just walk by me, I'll receive it. Just like the lady, if she knew if she could just get a hold of Jesus' cloak, there was healing in it. She knew the power. If I can just get around it, that's the kind of power we're called to walk in, that people say, Barrett has something. If I can just get around her, my finances will go up. Yeah. Pastor Nicole is carrying something. If I can just get around her, that sickness, it will fall off immediately. She ain't got to pray for me. I just get around her, and I start feeling it. I get around Chelsea, the joy just hits me. It don't matter how bad I was, I just start laughing. That's how we're supposed to walk. Don't never say that the only way people were going to receive healing is by laying hands. No, you get around them. Yeah. They were in the street. Peter walked by. Shadow hit them. Oh, there it goes. Why? Because there's a power inside of you. Just like when I walked by, that paper went. I didn't touch that paper. But the authority I was walking in, the power that came off of me, threw it off the table. Same thing. When you walk by somebody, the healing that you're carrying, it hits them. Get around it. Jade's got testimonies where she's sitting in her office and people come in and they've been beat down. Their finances and all that. And they walk in, they're a different person. Because they're getting around somebody that knows what they're carrying. They're in the presence of something. You just got to get in the presence of it. When you get in the presence of it, it hits you. The anointing will fall on you. The power will fall on you. His love will fall on you. Grace fall on you. Provision will fall on you. It will flood you to the brim till it overflows. You're walking in so much power, it's overflowing. So when you get around people, that splashback is hitting their feet and they're like, woo! Yeah. Something touched me. I didn't touch you. No, something did. I didn't touch you. I was over here, you way over there. Why? Because you carry something. Carrying something. When you take a cup and you pour it out on the table, all the power that's coming out that hits is hitting here. But what happens? It hits and then it spreads out. You've been given a power. This church is the table. It has been poured out. And now we are the splashes that are going out, taking it. That's going to saturate the whole area. Because we're receiving something. We're willing to open our hearts up and listen to what he's got to say and believe what he says is true. That's why I said at the very beginning, does everybody know this word's true? Because if you do, then everything I'm saying is sitting here. It's taking root. It's intertwining in something. Strength is coming. Power's coming. You're starting to understand who you are, what you're called to do, where you're called to be, what you're called for is to take something to people, to go to the poor, people who've lost their sight, the captives, bondage be broken, eyes be open. You got to go first. You got to be willing to take it. Are you willing to take it? I didn't used to be. When I was asked to go to the Philippines, I was scared. I'd never been on a plane. I'm about to get on a plane and be on a plane for 24 hours. I'm going to tell you. There for a little bit, I was letting fear get to me. Then I was like, you know what? It's going to be all right. He's calling me to go. That plane ain't going to crash. We're going to be over a lot of water. Plane ain't going to crash. I'm going to get a window seat. I did. So I looked out the window the whole time. Because why? I was scared of heights. He's put me in this plane. I'm not going to walk in fear. So I'm going to face my fear that I've had. Because I'm called to conquer it. So I wanted the window seat. I wanted to look out that high above everything. Because, one, wasn't nothing I could do about it at that point. I was going to have to face it. But if I'm going to sit there and I'm going to do it, then I'm going to conquer it. I ain't worried about it now. I've been on planes left and right now. I'm good. Jade, we had a little turbulence coming back from Baltimore. She was head in her lap, thought she was going to get sick. I was sitting there, oh, it's good. We're good. Why? Because when I get on that plane, because I went with Pastor the first time, Pastor was like, when you sit down in your seat, put your hand on the plane, pray. So now when I get on the plane, that's what I do. If I ain't in the window, this plane's protected. This plane is guided. Angels of the Lord are going to guide this plane exactly where it's supposed to go, on the time it's supposed to be there, not a minute earlier, not a minute later, but on time. Perfect. Because I learned something. I got around somebody that knew something, knew how to take authority on something, and I got quiet and listened, and now I know. Just like whenever he was giving me this, I was quiet, listened to everything he had to tell me. And a lot of this stuff wasn't what he was telling me, he's just telling me now. That's why I'm saying, just because you're going and you're doing it, you're not running out of power. He's giving you something in that moment. It's like right now, I'm receiving just as much as y'all are. This is just as much as revelation to me as it is for y'all. That's how God works. You'll never be to the point where you've arrived because he's too big. He's always got something for you. Pastor says it all the time, I ain't arrived. And if he ain't arrived, I know I haven't. Yeah. Acts 19:11 through 12, they were taking Paul's handkerchief. Oh, Chelsea's got a cold. Will you take this to Chelsea? As soon as she puts it in her hand, boom, the healing was hers. Why? Because he was walking in something. Something got around him. And guess what? It got saturated in that power. And then that was taken to somebody, and they received it. They said, hey, I got something you need. Boom. Sickness is gone. Because you have something inside of you. It's tangible. It's not just something that you read, and it's in there, and it's like, ooh. No, people can feel it. It comes alive. That song, those goosebumps you got, what do you think that was? That was the power of God that's in that song, that's anointed on that song, that hits you. Yep. It's tangible. It wasn't just for the apostles. Like I said in the beginning, disciples, people that were learning, people that were in school, the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. He said to them, I was watching Satan fall from heaven like lightning. Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents. It goes on. 70. But Paul wasn't in there. That was back in Luke. Paul was still persecuting the church. That was disciples. That was you. It was you. It was me sitting here receiving something and understanding what we were receiving is true. It's life. It's power. And going, you know what? You wouldn't tell me to go do it to make me look like a dummy. You would tell me to go do it because there's a reason to go do it. And they came back. Even the demons are subject to your name. He didn't say my name because the demons knew who they were carrying. They knew that they were carrying something that they couldn't handle. Oh, that guy's got Jesus in him. Leave him alone. It's Boomerang Church. They know the power they have. Leave them people alone. How many times I got to tell y'all, stop messing with them? Because every time you mess with them, they go out and win another 100 souls. You keep it up, every citizen in the United States is going to be one to the Lord. We're going to have to go to a whole different side of the world. That's what we're called to walk in. That's the power that we've been given. That's the power we're supposed to exercise when the sickness comes on, when the lack comes on. That's what we're supposed to be. I have not always been that person. I have done the thing where, I don't feel like praying for them today. It's a bad day. I can't pray for them if I'm going through something. No, you can, because when you pray for them, you're coming out of something. Yeah. Not just when you're worried about yourself instead of that person, you're in pride. You think your need is bigger than their need. It's not. It doesn't work that way. Your need is just as big as their need. So he tells you to go pray for somebody. You go pray for them. I don't care if you think you're on your deathbed. You go pray for them. He's called you to it. I was one of my dad's friends was in had a really bad accident. I felt like I was supposed to go pray for him. I kept where he was at in the hospital needed a minister's card. And you have a minister's card, I'm not an ordained minister. I'm just somebody that believes the word, knows the word, knows the praise. But I needed a card. So I called my uncle. My uncle was gonna go with me. Kept blowing me off, never got there. I was like, you know what, if he's calling me to go, then I'm going to go. He'll get me to where I need to be. I got there. It was like Fort Knox that day. People coming out of outpatient surgery were having to stop at security while they're on a gurney because something had happened at CMC, Maine. I'm sitting there like, good try. What? We'll get in line on the security line. Person in front of me, her sister had some kind of blood disease, going through something. Seen me holding my Bible, asked if I would pray with him. I told him, yep. Went through security. I made it through security. Met up in the hallway. Prayed with them. Led both of them to the Lord. As I'm praying with them, a lady walks by, works at the hospital, says, I was like, can you show me how to get this room? She's like, do you have a card? And I was like, no, I don't. I was like, but I felt like I'm supposed to be up here to pray for this person. If you called me to pray for him, I'm going to come pray for him. She goes, well, I'm not going to get in your way. Follow me. I was going through the air medics wing where they sleep. She was walking me through that corridor, all this around, all the security and everything, and dropped me off right at the room I was supposed to be at. Guy had tubes in his head, wasn't speaking, wasn't moving. It was not a good situation. His sister was there, never met a sister. I walk in the door, she said, who are you? My name's Paul. Your brother's a friend of my dad's, which I've never met him before either. I was like, but I just felt like my dad told me I was supposed to be here to pray for him. And I was like, so can I pray for him? She was like, well, yeah. So I prayed, the doctors came in, I stepped outside. I'm listening, because I know he called me there for a reason. He started moving his hand when the doctors came in. All right. Confidence right there. I listened, I heard right. So then the doctors leave and start talking to her. I find out the next day he had a bowel movement. They took the feeding tube out. He opened his eyes. He started trying to talk. By the end of the week, he was coming out of the hospital. He was going to a rehab hospital because he had broken both his hips, all this. Okay, well, God healed him. He's not just going to wake him up from something and not give him everything. So what was supposed to be a long span of healing and surgeries and all this, he ended up having both his hips replaced. But the gash he had in the back of his head, he ended up having no brain damage and all that. Because I heard right. He's always telling us something, but we got to listen for it. I could have sit there that day and said, I've never met him. He's an alcoholic. He's not going to listen to anything I got to say. Especially, he's in a coma. He won't hear nothing. That's what I could have said, because that was true. But I felt it in my spirit when my dad told me that I needed to go. And the first time that I really needed to be there is everybody that was supposed to go with me, that was going to get me there, kept bailing out on me. All right, he's trying to come against us. He don't want me getting there. Yeah. I'm supposed to be there. He's been coming attack against his whole body all week. Why? Because he didn't want you to hear what you're getting right now. Because he knew if you got here today, you're going to receive something that God had for you. And then next week, something's changing. Some bondages are being broken. Lives are changed. That happens right now. Right now. So I don't know what everybody's went through this week. I don't know if sickness has tried to come on you. I don't know if it's depression, if it's finance, what it is. But right now, it breaks. Right now, it changes. Why? Because we just received our empowerment. We just received it on another level. Even if we already knew it, guess what? You can never work a muscle out too much. It can always get bigger and stronger. So all you just did was do a little steroid injection, beef it up some more. So right now, when we pray, we close this out. What you need this week is being given to you. The breakthrough that you need, you're not waiting on it. You're receiving it right now. So Father, we just thank you. We thank you for the word today, Father. We thank you for the revelation that we've received today, Father, the empowerment that we have, Father. We thank you that you have called us by name, that we are made yours, and that no weapon formed against us will prosper. We thank you for it. Our finances are going up. Bondages are being broken. Strongholds are being broken. We are rising up to a new level. We know who we are. We take authority over this region, over our houses. Nothing will come against us. Nothing. When he tries to come at us, Father, we know who we are, and we punch back. We are tired of sitting here. We will no longer sit here and get punched in the mouth. We will be the ones punching in the mouth. We're going to take the authority back. We're standing there. We know what we've received. We will not be a lazy church. We will stand on the word. We will empower people. We will go out and take the power that we've received and take it to your people, Father. They will receive it. They will come out of lack. We're going to get around some people and they're going to feel some things. Things are going to change when we get around them because we know who we are. We know who we belong to, and we're carrying you with us everywhere we go. We thank you. We thank you, Father. We thank you for everything that you've done for us, Father. Everything that you're continually doing for us, Father. The battles that you are fighting with us, Father. That you've never left us and you never will. You're right beside us every second of the day, Father. Even when we think you're not, you're there. We just got to get our eyes back on you. So right now, Father, we receive you. We receive everything you have for us. We listen for you, your word. We thank you. We thank you right now for the healings that are taking place, for the finances that are being brought in, the blessings that's coming in, the favor that is happening right now. The bondages that are being broken right now. The spiritual strongholds that have tried to grip this body are broken now. In the name of Jesus. The people that are watching online, their needs are met right now. The sickness that's trying to come on them, it falls off now because the Holy Spirit knows no distance. So what's being prayed out now is received there, where they're at right now. We thank you for it. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you for your boldness, Father. We thank you for the boldness that is coming on us right now. We thank you. We thank you.